Leading off with the big story of the day, here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Who win it now?
All right, 1 hour in the books, lickety split. Hour number two is right here, right now. Hopefully you're having a good Tuesday. Thanks for making us a small part of it. You doing all right, my friend?
I'm good, man. I am good. I'm excited about what we got going on today.
Yeah, we got a lot to still get to. Opening day coming this Friday. Catch us on the rooftop of El Patio Denver, right across from the ballpark. Cannot wait for that. It's going to be a beautiful day.
Yes.
And it is going to take some real, what's it called, self-control. The sun's high in the sky. Everyone's getting after it. Got to be professional.
Got to
be 70 degrees.
It's going to be degrees. Yeah, dude. It's going to be like quite literally one of the three nicest days of 2024 so far, and it's opening day.
See, Zach, you're like the Hulk. You know, you have to try to stay calm so you don't get angry.
Yes.
All right. So we're going to have to keep you calm.
All right. We're going to be pros.
You what?
We're going to be pros. We're going to be professionals. All right, but come say hello to us. Later this month, man, and again, I mean, it's this month is going to be just kicked into high gear here in 2 to 3 weeks because we're going to have the Avalanche playoffs starting. We're going to have the Denver Nuggets playoffs starting in 18 days. And then a couple days after that, we're going to have the NFL draft. And, man, what an important draft for Denver. And yesterday we called it a tipping point. It's like there's a fork in the road, man. And if things break right, man, we could be getting this ship back headed in the right direction. Things go wrong, things could get worse. And to think that this decision in the first round in less than a month doesn't have that type of gravity is just, it's not acknowledging it for how important it is.
Time is ticking. Time is ticking for Sean Payton to get things back on track, okay? Last year was last year. That was in the past. But now it's now. What are we doing now to get better? What are we going to do at the position, at the quarterback position, Zach? Are we going to draft a quarterback? Or are we all going to be sitting here looking up at the screen? The 12th pick of the NFL draft.
Yeah.
The 12th pick
of the NFL draft, the Denver Broncos select.
Like, oh, there's a trade.
And if it says there's a trade when you're picking 12, the time to move up would have been an hour before.
Mm.
That would happen if like the fourth pick is going off. It's like, there's a trade. The Denver Broncos have made a trade with the Arizona Cardinals. Oh, doctor, that could turn the entire draft on its head.
Okay. They get the Arizona Cardinals pick.
Hold on. Hold that thought. Okay. When I just said that, what just happened to you?
I had to close my eyes because I had to picture who are we taking?
Did you get internally like excited?
I did. I was like, okay, we're making drastic changes. We're being aggressive. There's somebody up there that Sean Payton wants, that Sean Payton needs, that we need as Denver Broncos country, right? We need it, and that's why we're going and getting a pick in the fourth pick of the draft, and it's going to be, who is it going to be? It has to be a quarterback.
It's got to be a quarterback.
At that time, it has to be a quarterback.
And that's the thing, like so many people around here say, oh, don't draft a quarterback, you know, just, you hear that jingle? And Roger Goodell gets up there with the fourth pick and says the Broncos have moved up the draft. I'm telling you, it's going to break the internet, and it's going to be hard no matter where you stand not to get excited about that. It'd be a power move, a huge swing that, again, it's also a fork in the road. Goes wrong, maybe it's the biggest mistake in franchise history. Goes right, maybe it's the best move in franchise history.
Mm.
So, you know, and it's maybe hard to get better than Elway or Peyton or whatever, but you know what I'm saying. It could just change the trajectory of this entire organization.
Yeah, we need it. We need it. 8 years in a drought.
Yeah.
We need some kind of excitement, and I'm willing to get on board with a rookie quarterback. And although we may not win a lot of games, if he's looking good at the end of the year, I'm not going to, you don't ever take what a young man does at the beginning of the season because they change by the middle and at the end. But by the end of the season, if that quarterback, that young quarterback is doing great, we're rolling in the right direction.
Yeah. All right. Well, do you remember your thought? before I hijacked it?
Well, I was going to say, we get to the fourth pick, all right? Who is it going to be?
We still don't know that. We still don't know that. I think at the very end of the day, if they move up for pick number four, it would be for J.J. McCarthy. I think, you know, we get so far in this draft process, and this guy's rising, this guy's falling, but yeah. I think at the end of the day, it goes Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May.
But what if it goes Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy?
Mm.
We still move up into fourth.
Oh, then it's got to be for Drake May.
You think so?
I mean,
it's been kind of quiet with Drake.
Who do you think it would be? I mean,
It probably has to be Drake May.
Yeah, because you're not moving up for Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix.
Unless they catch wind like J.J. McCarthy did. J.J. McCarthy was supposed to be at our grasp.
Yeah.
All right, in the 12th pick of the draft.
Right.
And now he may be going third, second. I mean, you had Jim Harbaugh saying he should be the first one. So we just don't know, right? What's stopping, you know, someone like Michael Penix Jr. from moving up someone's draft board?
Two ACLs and two shoulders.
Oh, man. I hope the Denver does the right thing and picks a quarterback for us. But if it isn't Michael Penix Jr., which the case really could be, you guys better hope Michael Penix Jr. does not go off.
Oh, I know. Yes, we are. Even if it, like, is he my number one quarterback? No. Yeah. But if he gets drafted here to Denver?
No, I'm not talking about with us. If he goes somewhere else and goes off.
Oh, then we're going to hear from Mr. Lindsay.
Yeah, you're going to hear from me every single day. Every single day. If J.J. McCarthy gets there and does not beat out Stidham.
Oh, stop.
And then Michael Penix Jr. ends up starting the first week. Oh, my God.
Dude.
Get ready. Get ready.
First of
all.
I'm going
to hear this every single day. Because I'm going to have to hear Zach try to make up a reason why JJ's not playing. He's 21 years old.
Well, if you drafted him specifically.
Yeah.
And this doesn't relate to Bo Nix and it doesn't relate to Michael Penix Jr. But if it's JJ and it does happen to be JJ, one, celebrate. Because it's going to be a winning combination between him and Sean Payton, trust me. All right. But two, it might be the plan with him specifically, hey, maybe not a redshirt year, but you're starting the season watching.
That's a smart move.
With him specifically, because he hasn't played a great ton of football. I mean, he's played a lot of football, not to the degree of Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix.
Yeah.
Like, those guys have played a lot, man. I mean, Bo Nix has played, let's say the Broncos drafted Bo Nix at 12. It's completely different. He's got to play from day one. Like, what are you looking for, more reps?
That's where it goes wrong, Zach. Because it doesn't matter how much you played in college. The NFL is just a different ball game. The NFL is a different level, a different speed.
But he's 24 years old.
It don't matter
if you're 26.
There's 28-year-olds that don't know how to still play quarterback. Okay, we're still sitting here talking about Drew Luck, and Drew Luck is still a backup.
Yeah.
And he's about to be 27 years old. Some people got it and some people don't. It doesn't matter how old you are yet now. Granted, the older you get, the smarter you get, you understand the game. Okay, you become a veteran. That's what makes you a veteran, is going through the fire.
Sure.
Why is it that Michael Penix Jr. saying he should be starting if he's the first pick of the draft, or first pick of whatever draft it is?
You're saying like the Broncos picking Michael Penix Jr. at 12?
For sure. But why are we okay with J.J. McCarthy getting a redshirt year?
Because he's 21 years old and has played much less than Michael Penix Jr.
If we're getting J.J. McCarthy and you put a fourth pick of the draft on this man, we're going to sit him?
Maybe for the first six games, five games, four games, something like that. You know, for the first month. I don't know because, what does it look like? What does it feel like? How much of a grasp does he have? Look. If they pick a quarterback in the first round, I want to see him that first year.
Well, yeah.
That first year. And maybe you got to wait till the last quarter of the season. Okay. But I want to see him that first year. An entire redshirt year, yeah, I know it's worked. I know Aaron Rodgers sat. Have you heard that? Rodgers sat.
Yeah. But who he sat? Who was in front
exactly.
of him?
Exactly. And did Mahomes sit? Yeah, but they were an 11-win team without him. Yes. That's not the situation here in Denver.
No, it's not. This is a whole entire rebuild. Rebuild. And that's why, for me, it's like, don't sit him if it's a rebuild. Is it a smart thing to do? Probably, yeah, in the long term, because you want him to develop and you have someone like Jarrett Stidham that can hold on for a little while you develop. But if we're going to go through this, and we're not going to win a lot of games, it better be with that young quarterback.
Yes.
Let's just go through all the growing pains together.
Yes, I agree. I agree. All right. If the Broncos draft a quarterback in the first round and he plays, what should we expect?
Struggles. A lot of struggles, a lot of patience, okay? Unless he just goes out there and does what Justin Herbert did his rookie year, which could be possible.
Possible.
You know, but you have to have weapons around you to make that happen.
Yep.
You know, they're going to lean heavily on the run. You have to. Hopefully Javonte is ready and he's healthy. Cortland Sutton, we'll see if he's even here.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
You know,
Draft night is a big night for Cortland, I think.
I know. Tim Patrick, he's battling for his job. He's battling for his job.
Yep.
He has to earn his way back on this roster. That's why he had to take that cut.
Yep.
So this young quarterback's dealing with uncertainty of who's going to be at the receiver position.
Yep.
Okay, running back-wise, are they going to be more explosive this year?
Which you're counting on, right?
You're hoping, right?
If this running back room isn't more explosive, this whatever quarterback, I don't care if it was Caleb Williams, you're not as set up for success.
Yeah, I'm truly thinking that the Denver Broncos are going to draft a running back.
Yeah?
They will. They have a fourth and a fifth. Fourth or fifth, there will be a running back taken for the Denver Broncos. I just don't think that they're going to trust the Javonte situation. My man Jaleel's going to have to continue to prove people wrong because he was undrafted. They're waiting for that moment, Zach, that he doesn't go out there and look explosive for a day, and they're going to pin it against my man. I'm telling you right now, that's what they do because they want their people to succeed. And if they draft another running back, that's because they want him to play in front of Jaleel.
Yeah. God, I hear the player in you coming out when you start talking about this.
You see it so often, man, and it's just not fair. But guess what? Life's not fair, and you're going to always have to prove somebody wrong.
Yeah. All right, and then the receiver room, you're right. Tim Patrick fighting for his job.
Yep.
You got Marvin Mims in year two. You got Josh Reynolds.
If he drops two balls at the beginning of the season, what's going to happen?
Dude, if it's two balls in the beginning of the season, it's going to validate what you saw in the NFC title game. It's like, oh, my God, that's just who's in Denver now.
Yeah.
He's got to clean that part up.
He does.
Dropping one out of every 11 passes that are catchable is not professional football. He's got to figure that out.
$5 million guaranteed.
I thought it was like 4.5. Yeah.
Out of the $14 million that he could make, so it's not a crazy contract.
No, it's not.
They're going to be tied to him to this year, but I think it's just a project to see what he can, you know, come about with the situation with him.
And it's a decent flyer for $4.5 million bucks. It's like, you know, he. I'm joking around, obviously calling him Drops Reynolds, unless he does drop balls.
You're joking until you're not.
And then he will be Drops Reynolds. So you're hoping that gets better, but I agree with you in terms of if they draft a quarterback in the first round, the expectation is not to win games.
Mm.
It's to see enough, and this is me, to see enough flash, to see what Sean sees. And will you see it Sunday after Sunday? No, but hopefully you see it a Sunday where you're like, oh, there it is. And then the next week you're going to want to pull your hair out. He's going to throw three interceptions. But you hope you see a sustained flash of...
It's consistent.
And not consistent play, but consistent flashing.
Yeah.
What about the expectations? Well, would the expectations change within the first round for the quarterback? So would the expectations be different if the Broncos moved up and took one of the big four as opposed to them staying at number 12? And taking a Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr., would there be higher expectations for that quarterback if they move all the way up for him?
No. The expectations stay the same with me. Okay? Sean is cocky. He's confident. He has went out on a limb saying that he does things better than other coaches do. So if that means that he's not moving up to be aggressive and get that quarterback, he knows something we don't know. He knows that there's a quarterback that's going to fall in his hands that's a franchise quarterback for us, that he's going to develop and he's going to be able to say, I told you so. All right? That's what I'm getting from Sean. There is no leeway with me with Sean anymore. You're getting paid $100 million. You got rid of the quarterback that you said was the problem. All right? You kept George Payton. That was half the problem. So you go out there and you show us why you're this guru coach and why Drew Brees was Drew Brees.
I like it. I like it. And if he grabs one in the first round, it's like he's putting his chips on this guy. Mm. And by the way, I'll ask the question. Is this the one and only time we'll see Sean Payton draft a quarterback in the first round? And here's my thought here. If you hit on him, the answer is yes, because the guy's going to be here.
Yeah.
But if Sean swings at a quarterback in the first round, which he's never done before, so if they go do this, we're seeing Sean in year number 17 or whatever it is for him coaching, do something he's never done before, and it goes wrong, and it goes badly. It
goes haywire.
You're out of your mind to think that he's going to go do that again.
Mm.
I think it's just going to be a different plan. And even if he's here just for the 5 years, they say he's here 7 years. I don't think you'll see. The Broncos haven't drafted a quarterback in the first round in two presidential terms.
Yeah.
You just don't wake up and do it every other year. If Sean gets it wrong, I don't think there's another opportunity for Sean with a quarterback in the first round for the foreseeable future. You get it right, you're good. You're not doing it anyway. You get it wrong, it's going to be back to what I know, and that's going with a veteran quarterback.
Well, see, this is the thing. This year, right, going into this draft, this is probably the most uncomfortable feeling Sean has ever felt because he doesn't like rookies. He does not like playing rookies, whether it's the quarterback position, the running back position. You have to earn trust to play for Sean Payton. I've heard that multiple times from some of my teammates and other players that have played for him. You have to earn his trust. So for him to go out on a limb right now, all right, he's uncomfortable. Now, he's playing it cool because it's Sean. But I'm like you, Zach. If it does not work this year, he's not going to be sitting in line saying, okay, Shador's the next one.
Yeah, right. No.
Especially if everything's true with Coach Prime saying like, these are specific spots that Shador is going. He's going to go to what he feels comfortable with, and that's a veteran quarterback.
Yes.
And he's willing to risk it all
for
his legacy.
Yeah.
And knowing that I don't want to deal with another rookie quarterback.
And that could be... And it wouldn't make sense. I was about to say Dak Prescott. That'll be this coming offseason.
Yeah.
This, if that even happens, maybe something gets done in Dallas. But that rookie quarterback, should they draft one in the first round this month, he's going to get at least 2 years. At least 2 years, in my estimation. Maybe it's longer. Like you said yesterday, could it be three?
Yeah.
If it's sort of lukewarm on the results after 2 years, could he get a third year? Maybe, if Sean believes in him. And clearly he would in that scenario if he picked him in the first round. But shoot, we know they called Kirk Cousins. We know that.
I know.
And it probably wasn't a very long conversation after your a former agent. I don't know if he's still your agent, Mike McCartney.
Yeah.
But we know Sean Payton, George Payton, someone called them.
Oh, and
they talked. They checked in. So we'll see. They got to get this right. They have to get it right. What would the expectations be this season in 2024 if they go with Jarrett Stidham? And to think that couldn't be the scenario is naive.
Yeah, I mean, if you go with Jarrett Stidham, look, Jarrett Stidham has not played in a lot of games.
Four more than me. He's played four more games at quarterback than me, three more than you.
So technically, he's a rookie, right? He's going to go through his own growing pains. But as much as Sean believes in Jarrett Stidham, that means that we should be pretty much in the playoffs. He's bringing that spark. I'm telling you, Zach, I'm not sitting here playing nice with Sean if Sean decides to go with Jarrett Stidham. That means that we are a contending team, okay? And I know that we think that this is supposed to be a rebuild, but that's not what Greg Penner was saying.
No. Nope.
Right?
Nope.
I don't think Sean wants to do this.
I don't think Sean is looking at this like a rebuild.
Older dude.
Yep.
Okay? His legacy is on the line, just like Russell's was. You want to win games. You want to get back to the playoffs. We paid you a lot of money. You're stuck with Jarrett Stidham.
If they go with Jarrett Stidham, I'll say it like this. If you started last season being pissed off if you weren't a playoff team, you get rid of the quarterback because he hurt your chances of winning, and moving on from him gives you a better chance to win, and it's Stidham, go to the playoffs.
Well, you have no choice.
Or at least finish with a winning record.
You have no choice.
If Russ was what was holding you back, and it gave you a better chance to win the move on, and going into that season, you were pissed off if you weren't a playoff team, and you get your way and you eat the largest dead cap in NFL history, and you get your guy who you handpicked on day one of free agency in his first year, who's got it, who's, you called him a rookie, call him a redshirt rookie. because he's got a year of incubation in this offense to give him a head start. I know he hasn't played a lot on game days, but he would have a head start more than Bo Nix or Michael Penny or whoever. My expectation is like, hey, go win games, man. It's the NFL. I don't want to hear a sob story. If you go with a veteran handpicked quarterback instead of a rookie, go win football games.
No, there is no sob story. There is no, what does he like to say? Look, relatively, we're dealing with other issues. No, you've decided relatively to not pick that quarterback in the first round to give you more of a space for a sob story, and now you better go out there and win games. That's all I'm saying. Go win.
What about, what would the expectation be if the Broncos went with a mid-round quarterback?
A mid-round quarterback. So they decide not to, draft him in the first round.
No first-round quarterback. You're not going to go with Jarrett Stidham, though. We think, and this is Mike's plan in the morning, Mike Evans, this is his plan, is that Sean's a guru. I trust Sean. Go draft a mid-round quarterback and go win.
Then you're telling me that you're going to trade down and get more draft picks because now there's no reason to sit there in front, especially if someone like Brock Bowers, who in my head, that's who the only person I would take is Brock Bowers in that 12th spot. If you don't get him because he decides to go, you know, someone else picks him up, trade down, get more draft capital. Take that mid-round quarterback. But, yeah, I'm like, Mike, you're the guru now. All right, everybody is counting on you to bring this to life. Last time we did something like that was Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, he was a 7th-round pick. That wasn't even a mid-round pick. That's the definition of a late-round pick.
Who was a mid? I think that was...
From the Broncos or just in general? From the Broncos, have they gone with a mid-round? I mean, they went with Drew Lock, who was a second-rounder.
See, that's not even a mid. I don't think that's a mid. That's still second round, Zach.
Yeah.
You're still getting paid a lot of money. You still should go out there and produce.
Third-round picks. Russ was a third-round pick.
Yeah, Russ.
I think Dak Prescott was a third-round pick. Joe Montana was a third-round pick. You could go find them if they're there, but I don't know, man. I'll repeat what I said yesterday. Like, if that's the plan going into the draft, you're going to draft a third-round pick, fourth-round pick at quarterback, and that guy's going to play, I don't know. That just feels like building your house on sand. That doesn't feel like a concrete plan, like an organizational plan. That's the plan? I can't see Sean doing that. But we'll see. We could be at training camp. It's Spencer Rattler versus Jarrett Stidham versus Ryan Tannehill.
Well, first of all, are we going to be able to go to training camp?
It's a good question.
Because if not, I'm going to have to start talking nicer to Sean.
I'll tell you what. I think, in my opinion, and far be it for me to tell a billionaire what to do, but I think Greg Penner needs to kind of step in and say, hey, you know, let's...
Relax.
Yeah.
Leave this to me. You just deal with the X's and O's.
Yeah.
Deal with this young rookie quarterback that you're going to get. And don't worry about the media.
Yeah. That was fine for the first year. Hey, all good, but...
It could be a telling sign, though, because didn't Sean have a big-time dinner with the media?
He did.
And we weren't invited.
And it was a 4 to 5 hours long.
Yeah. So maybe it's telling us something. Maybe. He's trying to get in good with the media. So maybe he'll throw us a bone and let us in to see some football.
We shall see. All right, last Friday... We made predictions on just how many people would watch Colorado versus Iowa, and now we have the numbers. Details next. All right, let's come off the top rope with it.
One!
All right, so last week, it was on Friday, we gave our predictions of what the rating would be between Colorado and Caitlin Clark's Iowa Hawkeyes in the middle of the afternoon on Saturday on ABC.
Yep.
KJ, do you have the guesses that we had as a staff?
I do.
All right, let's go over it.
Phil?
Be kind to me. Be kind to me.
I'm sorry. Phil had 9 million.
Okay.
And Zach had 7.5.
Okay.
I had 7.1. And Drew had 6.5.
Okay, so Phil had 9 million viewers. I had 7.5. KJ had 7.1 and Drew had 6.5. The results are in. Colorado.
And you are not the father.
Oh my gosh.
Mari, baby.
It's so funny, dude. So, it's so good even after all these years. in such a painful way. All right, the actual viewership numbers. Saturday afternoon, Colorado and Iowa drew 6.9 million viewers. It still goes down as one of the most watched college basketball games on the women's side of all time. Falls short of the prediction of your prediction of 9.
Yeah.
Drew had 7.5. I had 7.5. Falls short of that, still a huge number. And we're now waiting for the results of last night's game. The highest viewed women's college basketball game of all time was last year's national championship game, LSU and Iowa. We got the rematch last night. Last year, it was a championship game. This was not. This isn't even a Final Four game. This is to go to the Final Four. Last year, it did 9.9 million viewers. Do you believe the results we get, and I think we're going to get them while we're on the air, is it the first ever women's college basketball game that drew over 10 million viewers?
I do. I believe that this is going to be a 10 million view game. One, there was a lot more in stake at this time, right? Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese going back and forth with it. They wanted to pin Angel Reese as the villain. Kaylee Clark is this nice person. The coach.
Who did that?
I think we did as a media, man.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Come on now. Come on now. There was times where Caitlin Clark is cussing out refs and screaming, and we're not saying nothing about it.
Oh, no. I heard a lot of people say something about it. When I put up that poll, who would you rather have a beer with, Caleb Williams? The amount of people, go look at the replies, like, none of them. Caitlin Clark's a bad sport. Caitlin Clark is arrogant. There was backlash on Caitlin Clark. There was. And then for Angel Reese to be the villain, it was just 48 hours before that she was like, our coach calls us the villain, and we embrace that role. And they hate us because they ain't us.
Yeah.
And so she leaned into it. I mean,
why would you not? I would lean into it. That's why, I mean, like, but how does it get hyped up? We have to hype it up. It can't just be them. It can't just be the team.
Yeah.
We have to be all in on making this production the best movie we can ever make.
They made a pretty damn good one.
They did.
I agree. I think it's going to be 10 million viewers. I think we're going to find out while we're on the air. I think it's going to be 10 million viewers. And there's a lot different between last night and the national championship. Last night's a Monday.
Yeah.
And it's on cable. National championship is played on a weekend on network TV. I still think it last night beats it. There was not a lot going on in sports last night.
It really wasn't.
And so we'll see. We are fixing to find out here. I think we're going to get the answer while we're on the air.
One, two.
Did you see George Karl in his April Fool's Day tweet? He said, good news. And it's a picture of Josh Kroenke talking with Carmelo Anthony. Good news. Josh, Mello, and I have spoken, and we will be getting together this month to hash things out. It's been long enough, and it's time to move forward. More soon, end quote. Is this harmless, or is this George and his trolling trying to hit a pain point with Carmelo Anthony?
Well, yesterday was
April Fool's.
April Fool's. Uh-huh. That happened on April Fool's,
uh-huh,
right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think it's trolling. I think that this is all fake. Carmelo would have had something to say.
No, I'm saying, okay, so he said after it was April Fool's.
Okay, I was going to say.
Okay, so, but do you believe he's
trolling Carmelo still?
Is it mean-spirited? That's what I'm trying to say. Is this in fun, or is it mean-spirited because it's actually relating to a real issue for Melo?
I definitely don't think it's for fun. I think that, you know, Carl loves trolling Carmelo for some reason.
He does.
And he's getting older. You know, maybe, you know, he's stuck on Carmelo. So something's there. I think he's trying to be a little spiteful with it, a little funny at the same time. What you thinking?
Man.
Come on now.
George doesn't give a rip.
He doesn't.
And, man, I think it kind of lives in the same, like, God, he's having fun, but this is a real thing for Melo. This bothers Melo. He says it doesn't, but it definitely does. I think these two actually just hate each other. I just think they hate each other, and sometimes people just hate each other. And I know there's certain section of the fan base that wants this to happen, and like the number one liked comment underneath it was, this is sad because we actually want this to happen.
Yeah.
But I think deep down, if you got George Karl, a couple beers in him, Carmelo Anthony, couple glasses of Cabernet in them. I think they would talk crap about the I think they hate one another. And I think it comes out in funny little ways like podcast stories and April Fool's Day tweets. I don't know. I don't think these two ever are going to get on the same page. I really don't. That's where I'm at.
I think they will. You think that they'll at least talk.
Okay.
Because it's going to bring so much attention, Zach. In today's society, it's all about attention. So I can see this happening.
All right. We'll keep our eye on it. I'm sure there'll be some chapter waiting for us down the road here in 2024 between these two.
1, 2, 3!
All right, Phil. The Denver Broncos revealed earlier today the date their new uniforms are going to drop.
Uh-oh.
It sounds like later this month on Monday, April 22nd. All right, Monday, April 22nd. So 20 days from now, they will reveal the new uniforms. Do you have any idea what we're in store for here?
No clue. I keep trying to talk the back of the day D coming back, but that's not going to happen, I'm assuming. I think that there's not going to be a lot of change like we want it to be. I think it's going to be small little details with mountains. I still think they're going to keep the helmet the same, man. I think that we're going to be underwhelmed.
You think so?
Yeah.
White helmets. That has been, like, whispered around that there could be white helmets. We saw the white helmet this past year, the quote-unquote, like, snow-capped helmets. What did you make of the white helmet this past year?
I liked it. It's sharp. It was something different. Now, do I think that they're going to want to do that every single game? No. I think it's going to be an alternate helmet again.
Okay.
I think we're going to see a white helmet, but it's not going to be the base. It's not going to be the main helmet we wear every single game.
That helmet was sick.
It was nice.
This past year. But if you remember, they had the D on it. This would be
they
like...
They did.
But Damani Leach said that they're not changing the logo. So it might be a white helmet with this logo that they've had for the last, I don't know, 24, 26 years now. And then where would you... The mountains on the shoulder pads?
Yeah, the mountains on the shoulder pads. Maybe in the logo, there's like some mountains.
Like mix it in the logo?
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with the stripe down the side of the pants.
I think that's gone.
You think it's gone?
I think that's gone.
You can't just go, like, there has to be something there.
They'll replace it with something, but those like swooshes that they've had,
yeah.
I think those are gone. Those are a little bit passe.
What if there's some mountains down there?
I'm scared that it's going to be too busy.
Just too much stuff going on.
That's what, if you start incorporating the region with some new tweaks to it, like a white helmet, I don't know. I fear that it's going to be too busy. I like more simplistic, more plain Jane, but we'll see. Now at least we have the date. 20 days from now, we will know what the Denver Broncos uniforms are actually look like, and we'll, I'm sure, break them down head to feet. All right, we can probably put one particular Denver sports topic to bed after what we've seen in the last 24 hours. Tell you what it is next. You know who this is, Phil?
My boy T-Pain.
Did you know that T-Pain will be at Cheyenne Frontier Days?
What?
Along with Ludacris and T-Pain at Cheyenne Frontier Days. Digest that. Thursday, July 25th. All this week, three times a day, you will get a chance to win a pair of tickets to the show. Listen to 104.3 The Fan, Schlereth and Evans, Stokely and Josh, and us, The Drive, for your chance to win tickets. But you can win right now. Caller number four. At 303-713-1043 is going to get hooked up with a pair of those tickets for what might be an unforgettable experience. I'd bet on it. All right. We can probably put one Denver sports topic to bed after what we saw here in the last 24 hours. And that's the idea that the Colorado Avalanche could have a goalie controversy on their hands.
Yeah.
The second period last night said, oof.
First, a team that we were supposed to skate up and down the ice on.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. And we just saw that happen here in the last, I don't know, 2 weeks against Columbus, the Columbus Blue Jackets. It was 6-1. The Avs dominated, and there they were losing to that same team last night in not quite as dominant fashion, but still got dominated.
Oh, yeah.
On the scoreboard, at least.
Oh, for sure. I mean, when you're watching that game, it's like there's no way we're losing this game. There is no way. We're getting the shot attempts. Now, they don't look good. They don't look pretty all the time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Columbus was collapsing.
There it is. Yep.
There we go. On the goalie, but we were getting shots off. We were just not having any land.
Yeah, they play that style of like, hey, we're not going to try to match your firepower. We're going to try to block your shots. We're going to try to clog the lanes, collapse, as you said, get in front of their goaltender, protect, and or try to protect him. And, I mean, that second period was hard to watch. I mean, they scored three there in that middle 20 minutes. Jared Bednar talked about that second period.
We
let's try that again.
Second period, you know, our game kind of went away. We didn't execute well enough in the offensive zone. Led to some, you know, the bulk of their chances in the second period came from our turnovers in the offensive zone.
And that was clear when you watched their own turnovers in the offensive zone. And then, honestly, two of the three goals that Annan gave up in the second period, I thought were soft goals.
Yeah.
So you just can't, that's not high-level goaltending.
No.
And I just wonder, outside of, there's two back-to-backs left in the season. And more than likely, Annan will split that duty with Georgie on those back-to-backs. Do you think we see him in any other game moving forward outside those remaining two games, which are back-to-backs?
No, we will not. Unless Georgiev, knock on wood, we don't need this to happen, has an injury or gets upset and throws his skate, throws his jock strap, throws the puck, like just decides to go haywire. I don't see that happening. Georgiev, we're going to roll with him in the playoffs. He's going to need to get his confidence up. So let's just keep Georgiev where he's at.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think outside of those two games, we've seen the last of Annan. You know you're not going to play back-to-backs in the playoffs. It would have to get pretty ugly, I think, for them to make a change in net during the playoffs. And I hope that's not going to be the case. I mean, if we're talking about this in the playoffs, when both guys are healthy.
Frustrating.
Yeah, and it goes back to the conversation yesterday that we were kind of, it started off the air, and we had it on the air of like, man, what if one of these top-tier goaltenders was in between the pipes for the Avs with this team? It's like sky would be the limit.
It's not fair. That's why it's not happening.
Yeah, it feels like they're going to have to overcome this in the playoffs. That's what it's starting to feel like, that the Avs are going to have to legitimately overcome their goaltending situation on certain nights. And it does concern me that if you get into a series and these series take on a life of their own, so like if you're looking at like Winnipeg, it's looking like they're the most likely first round opponent, and that could change, but that's the most likely right now. I just wonder if and the goaltenders there, Connor, is it Hellebuck there? He just like, could he steal a series? Like, I'm watching the Avs lose to a Montreal team that is not in their class, lose to a Columbus team that's not in their class.
Yeah.
But what was a common denominator? Both of those goaltenders just played out of their minds, stood on their head.
Yeah.
And both of those teams won. And I hope that's not a harbinger of things to come here in the month of April, later in the month of April.
Yeah, we got to stay healthy. And the number one person that has to be on that ice is not there right now.
Right.
But he will be. He was skating around yesterday, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So, but we need him. We need him focused mentally, and he needs to be physically ready to play.
Yeah. Where, Drew, real quick, as our resident, just like complete hockey honk, where are you at, big picture, with this team? With just, what is it, 8 games left?
7 games now.
Seven, okay.
7 to go. Yeah, honestly, I feel fine. Like, last night was disappointing, but I don't know, not, I guess, entirely unexpected, just because I think when you're an NHL, NBA team, you kind of have a hard time this point in the season when you know you're going to be a playoff team, that you just kind of have a hard time getting up for games against teams that quite frankly, aren't very good.
Yeah.
We saw last week against Montreal. We saw last night against Columbus. Now you're going to start to play teams in the Western Conference that you know, are elite teams. So I think big picture, as long as this team is healthy, as long as Val comes back, which I anticipate he probably joins the team on the trip Thursday or Friday, either in Minnesota or Edmonton, I think as long as you get Val back and this team stays healthy, I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to make a deep run to at least probably the Western Conference Finals once we get into the playoff race. I think they're fine. I'm not worried about it. I know the goaltending can be a little shaky at times, but guess what? This team won a cup with shaky goaltending.
Yeah, they did.
And I know they're not the same team.
Yeah.
I don't think they're as good as the team from 2 years ago.
No.
But I still think they're good enough, even with shaky goaltending, to overcome that. Especially when you've got somebody like Nathan MacKinnon, who's been the MVP of the league this year.
30 seconds or less, yes. And MacKinnon got second star
of the month.
Of the month.
Yep.
Ken, I mean, this guy, he's the Hart Trophy favorite for
yes,
a reason.
Sir.
Real quick, what's the difference between the goaltending situation 2 years ago with Pavel Francouz and Darcy Kuemper, as opposed to this goaltender situation with Onanen and Georgie?
I actually think I trust Georgiev a little bit more than I did Kuemper.
Wow, okay.
I was never a huge Darcy Kuemper guy. I think the biggest complaint I think most Avalanche fans have with Alexander Georgiev is not can he steal a series for you, but can he steal a game?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if we've seen him steal a game for this team
right,
this year.
Right, right.
So
right.
I think that's kind of the biggest concern. But honestly, I think they're in a better situation, at least with Georgiev, than they were with Kuemper. Now, Francouz was a better backup.
He was, yes.
So,
okay,
I don't know how you want to weigh it.
I like that. Well, we're gonna keep on evaluating.
This does not sound good.
And then, well, it's just not great. It's just not ideal.
Yeah.
But the Avs are. If there's any team that can overcome this goaltending situation, it's Nathan MacKinnon. It's Cale Makar. Sure. It's Mikko. It's the whole boys. So we'll see what it looks like here. Last seven games left in the season. Wow. Then we take the Etch-a-Sketch, we shake it, and the whole picture goes clear again, and it's like a whole new thing. All right. If you want the Rockies to be good one day, you should probably be rooting for one major domino to fall, and it's got nothing to do with Dick Monfort selling the team. We'll explain coming up next.